Today's guest on Best Policy is David Howden, the co-founder of Hyperion and one of the most familiar names in the London insurance market. Hyperion's home may be in London, but it's actually very much an international firm. Indeed, its earliest roots are in Spain with the creation of an MGA in the early 90s. 26 years later, and the group is now the largest non-US owned insurance intermediary. David is a passionate advocate of the industry, matched only perhaps for his customers. So we begin with Best Policy asking him how he thinks the industry is coping with the COVID-19 crisis.
I think that, as always in life, one can always do more. But the danger with that is that you actually end up spending more time navel gazing, or at worst, even worse than that, actually finger pointing, rather than working together and finding solutions. And I think, you know, we are in a very, very unusual and difficult time. And so now it's a time for us to all be resilient, find solutions, not problems, and pull together in order to deliver the very best we can as an industry. You know, I love this industry. Nearly 40 years in it now. And I always say that it's the oil in the engine. You know, it's what makes the world go round. And maybe today it'd be more appropriate, we said it's the battery in the Tesla. But ultimately, we are here to support individuals, people, businesses, entrepreneurs, companies to be able to survive and thrive. And that's our job as an industry. And we do that by identifying, helping them identify what their risks may be, and trying to provide the very best insurances we can to protect them from those risks and allow them to trade forward. And so I think as an industry, we should always consider, could we do better? And I think there will be lessons to be learned from this terrible pandemic. And I hope, like so many things, you know, where there's adversity, there's always going to be opportunity. And I'm sure we'll talk about it a bit more later on, Peter, when we talk about the way that we operate as a business. But if you look at it, what we did as a business, we're using Hyperion X. We wanted to deal with facts and figures and data rather than anecdotes. So actually what we did, we went out, so far to 30, but we're going to 75 of our top key markets. Immediately this happened. And we engaged with them in a very collaborative process with the CEOs and with the CEOs to get a comprehensive feedback from them, and indeed give them feedback on how the market was operating and how actually the insurance market in general was dealing with this challenge. And I think first and foremost, what was very positive, and I think we should really, you know, take some credit for this as an industry as a whole, is that we had operational resilience. You know, we were operating and operating effectively and able to renew our clients' policies, transact, of course, deal with claims. And indeed, you know, as very much the case on us, win new business as well. So I think that operational resilience was definitely there, which is a big plus for the industry. It's not the case on everything else. I think industry was open for business, which was good. We didn't see any blanket withdrawal of insurers from the market in general. Yes, I think we have seen, obviously, exclusionary language creeping in. And again, what we wanted to do was get at the heart of what that language was, what it meant on policies, why it was there, was it correct or not. I think that, you know, you also saw that there was currently, yeah, quite a lot of client beneficial measures going in. So a few of the insurers had done some really good stuff on the way they were allowing the payments to be deferred or allowing their customers to really maintain insurance in difficult times. But right across the board, or everyone adopted a positive thing on saying, certainly on a case-by-case basis, they'd look at adopting measures to alleviate client commercial pressures. And I think that was very positive as well. There was clearly a new business opportunity here, a product opportunity. And again, we saw the market understanding that we need to be part of the solution for the future. And I want to come back to that point because I think it's quite a key point that. I mean, we are without doubt, I think, facing, I would say, a depression, not a recession. and one of the greatest ones we've seen, you know, probably since the Great Depression. And I think that we spent a lot of time, and I'm sure we'll talk about later on, considering, you know, how big is the loss going to be? Is it going to be the worst loss ever or whatever else? Me, and that's a bit too navel-glazing as well for my liking, because ultimately the loss to the world in terms of people and trade and commerce and health is huge, massive, and much more relevant than just whatever we might calculate the insured or uninsured losses will be. So I think, in summary, the market has been there, it's resilient, it's responded, it's operating. You know, not everyone, but most of the people managed to get their people working from home, working effectively, renewing policies. If you think of the speed of which we adapted agile working after talking about it for so long, and even as you know, you've commented a lot in your recent articles, Peter, regarding the speed with which the London market finally adopted electronic facing, adopted and embraced it, in fact.
Yeah.
So I think our response overall as an industry has been one that we should be proud of. But those are our lessons to be learned.
Thank you, David. And I mean, certainly from my experience over watching the industry over 20 years, it feels that it's improved its processes, it's improved its claims paying, and I think it's improved its sort of reputation and standing, both on a retail and on a commercial side. However, one can't help but notice the fairly gruesome headlines, in particular in the US and in the UK, where we are seeing disputes emerge on disputed BI coverage, typically for smaller, medium-sized enterprises, but larger organisations as well. And my concern is that actually, all of that 20 years of improved reputation, that could all be lost, and the industry may come out of this crisis with a much diminished reputation. I mean, is that a valid concern, and two, do you share it?
Well, answering the first point, is it a valid concern? Yes, it clearly should something we should be concerned about, because as we well know, as the insurance market, assets have moved from tangible assets to intangible assets. And if the insurance market was to lose its intangible asset of being relied upon to support individual businesses correctly, then that would be a huge loss. I mean, the ultimate way that would go is people would stop buying insurance because they wouldn't think it was worth the paper it was written on. The extent to which it's in danger of that, or indeed it is bringing that upon itself, I think is quite interesting. This isn't the first time that we've seen quite a violent reaction following natural disasters to the way the insurance industry is perceived to be responding. You know, you've seen that after the financial crisis, after the World Trade Center, etc., that, you know, partly fueled by politicians wanting to prove points, lawyers getting excited about how much they're going to earn from this. You know, you often see quite a lot of finger pointing going on, and I it's not new, and we've survived that in the past, Peter, and I think we'll survive in the future. Clearly, insurers, and I'm not speaking for them, but they have the right to price their policies correctly and put exclusions in. And, you know, ultimately, if those policies weren't clearly defined to cover a risk, then the insurers shouldn't have their fingers pointed at them for not doing so. And that includes, obviously, the advice from the broking community as well. So I think a lot of it is unjustified and not unique following a disaster of this magnitude. And this is a disaster which we haven't really encountered before. I think what we do have to be clear on with ourselves, though, is back to my earlier point, is could we have done this better? What are the lessons learned? And I always think that, you know, I always say to all my colleagues, it doesn't matter if you make mistakes. We all make mistakes. I make hundreds of mistakes all the time. And it even doesn't really matter making decisions that haven't necessarily lead to the right outcome you thought. But what's really not clever is not learn from those mistakes. And I think that, you know, we've always had this criticism, you know, this, Peter, the small print in insurance, yeah? This is not new, then. And insurers relying on small print to not cover claims. And that goes hand in hand with the danger, I think, of us as a community as a whole not always being good at explaining to clients what their exposures are and how they will cover them. And I think you could talk about that, in my view, in the context of a lot of the shift in the way that, you know, we talk so much in the industry that the risks of our clients now are not the old tangible risks, they're intangible risks. But how good we've actually been at explaining that to the clients, how we can help them cover it, and what the right policy for that would be, and the right cost for that. And while I think we have got quite a way to go, and I think this terrible pandemic has probably highlighted that. You know pretty probably well that, you know, there was coverage available before this pandemic came about, but it was probably not very well sold or explained or taken up. I think if we have, heaven help us, a enormous cyber type problem, I think we're going to see the same issues arising. I'm not convinced we've done our best yet as an industry to identify, explain, cover, sell the risks arising on cyber. And this whole thing of silent coverage, whatever that might mean, I think is actually a way of just hiding. We haven't done a great job of identifying our clients' risks, explaining to them, and pricing it properly and getting a policy to cover it. And that isn't, that's both broker community and underwriting community. It's us as an industry. So I think that would be my lesson learned from it. It is, can we make sure that we now have a really good focus on what we should be providing to our clients in the future? The only way we're going to get out of this, and I don't mean as an insurance industry, I mean as a global economy, is the only way we ever get out of these sort of holes, and that's by innovation. Yeah. You know, innovation is going to be the savior, and it's going to help us, you know, rebuild economies, rebuild people's lives, so hopefully pay off all the debt that we're taking on at the moment. And that innovation needs to be supported by insurance. We need to be innovators as well, and we need to be, back to my earlier comment about product innovation, we need to make sure that we are coming up with the solutions that the innovators in the wider economy need in order to help us bring this whole world out of this depression. And that's our challenge, I think, and a huge opportunity. And we've put together very quickly within the group a sort of team led by Sarah Hughes and Charlie Langdale that is focused purely on this, product innovation side. What can we do and deliver? And it's, you know, even today, in the current problem, we've got solutions going on. You know, the Nightingale Hospital that needed contractors insurance in order for them to be able to build that, you know, yeah. reality. And we provided that actually for free on our partners group. You know, if you look at what's happening on clinical trials at the moment, our clinical trials business is providing very quickly and effectively clinical trial pods, and we need that in place. So we can see that how insurance is weaved into the very fabric of how we get out of this situation. So let's try and seize the opportunities.
Well, David, thank you. And I guess if there's a positive wish list of how the industry could evolve coming out of this crisis, it is, as you say, it's perhaps greater innovation and also greater communication with your customers and greater clarity over coverage. There, I suppose, fingers crossed, that's what will happen. But being as sort of objective as possible, one, will those happen? And two, how do you think the industry will look when it comes out of this crisis? It may look no different. Or, is there the threat of insolvencies or closures, for example, or will there be less or indeed greater consolidation? It would be very interesting just to get your thoughts on how the industry, the whole kind of narrative of how the industry has been changing, whether that's now changed because of the crisis.
So I think the crisis changes everything. And I think those that don't recognise that will be left in a time that was before and won't be part of the future. I think we have to recognise that. And that's across everything. It's across what we've talked about already, Peter, in terms of what are the products, how do we sell them, how do we identify them correctly, you know, how do we support our client? It's all that side of it. I think it's absolutely a focus on understanding that these intangible risks are massive, and we have to find a way of ensuring them Otherwise, we're really only ensuring the tip of the iceberg, and that's pretty pointless because we know it's not the tip that sinks the Titanic. Titanic in this world being our clients. So I think we have to change all of that. And I really am excited by some of the feedback I'm getting from my colleagues about the effectiveness and the speed of delivery of policies and products, etc., now electronically, and the use of electronic systems of trading. And we should never go back to that. We know that one of the great challenges of our industry has been too expensive cost base for delivery of products. Well, we've undoubtedly got, it doesn't matter how much these claims are going to be, none of us will know, is it going to be the biggest loss ever? It's going to be a something great big loss one way or the other. It's an even bigger loss to our world economy. And therefore, it's duty bound upon us to make sure that we use it as an opportunity to shake our industry up, to make sure we emerge from this crisis much stronger, fitter, and cheaper, and therefore more cost-effective for our clients and better able to deliver the products they need in a better, more efficient, and more cost-effective way.
Thank you, David. And that concludes the first half of the Best Policy Interview with Hyperion Group CEO David Howden. The second part will be available later this week to download from the insurer's website or search the Best Policy on Apple Podcasts or Spotify.